Chasing China.
Ni hao and welcome back everyone to Chasing China. I'm Zara, your host and guide through the mesmerizing journey of expat life in Beijing. Each week we will have engaging conversations with incredible individuals who share their unique perspectives and experiences of navigating life in China. Whether you're a seasoned expat, considering a move, or simply curious about life in China, this podcast is here to offer you a front row seat to see what it's truly like to live, work, and thrive in Beijing. But before we dive into today's episode, don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you never miss out on the exciting and valuable insights our guests have to offer. Now, without further ado, let's get started on another adventure of Chasing China. Today we have a very special guest, Marie. She's also from Germany and living here in Beijing with her husband and their three sweet boys. She will share her unique perspective and experiences as a proud mom living here in this busy city. So get ready for an amazing strong woman. Hi Marie, so nice to have you here today.
Hi Sarah, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So I start every interview with a funny little game. I will throw out a word or phrase related to China, and you have to share the first thing that comes to your mind. You got it?
Yes.
Let's start. So your favorite Chinese food?
Malatang.
What is that?
It's a soup, a kind of hot pot. Maybe you walked by some shops already that have a display like in a supermarket with all the fresh greens, some different kind of meats, noodles, tofu, and so on. And you just collect in a big bowl everything you want to have into that soup, and then they cook it for you. You have different soup bases to choose from and different levels of spiciness, usually four different ones. And then, yeah, they just cook it for you. It's delicious. I love it. You gotta try.
Definitely. Sounds yummy. Okay, let's go over to the next word. Beijing summer.
Hot.
Chinese language.
Super difficult.
Great Wall.
Amazing and breathtaking.
Oh, I agree on that. And next one. Stereotype about China or Chinese people.
It's a bit difficult. I think it's the spitting on the streets, which is actually true. I'm just trying to think what my stereotype about Chinese people were before I came here, but it's very long ago, so I can't really remember. I think I just thought of them having very different eyes, small eyes.
Which is true.
Yeah, and the spitting part is true as well, so I can agree. And last one, Chinese tradition.
Very interesting, and it's very interesting also to dive deeper into that because there's a tradition for every festival, for everything, literally everything. And it's super different from what we Western people usually do. So I highly recommend to get a bit into that.
Yeah, I think in the future maybe we will have one episode about these traditions. So, but now, could you tell our listeners what brought you to China in the first place and how long have you been here?
Well, this summer it's going to be 2 years. We came to Beijing because my husband is an engineer at a German car company and has a work assignment here. So we like China because we actually met in China 12 years ago when we were both doing an internship for a car company as well. And we met there as students and always said, let's come back as expats. And now we are back with a little expansion with like our three boys, so big family of five now. We kind of planned for that for a long time, and then it happened.
Oh, that's a very great love story, and I'm so happy you are here with me. So I know we already mentioned it that you are a mom of three sweet boys. What has been your experience raising three kids in Beijing, and are there aspects that surprised you or that you found particularly challenging?
Well, first of all, life in Beijing or life in China in general is very safe. So that's good for living with children. Challenging, especially for me as a twin mom with three rather small boys that when we arrived still needed a stroller, needed a lot of support. is maybe that this city is not really accessible for wheelchairs or strollers. Because of the culture, they often build stairs where there are no stairs needed. It's just a thing that that they like. And in the temples and everything, you always have this kind of really high stairs and you're not allowed to step on it. And it's very interesting from a cultural perspective. But in a everyday life with three kids, when you have a big stroller to maneuver around, it's horrible. So this, and I wasn't used to that because in Germany it's different, right? We have, you always have this accessibility, you always have some kind of elevators or ramps or whatever. And here it's just not possible. So what I'm used to from Germany, just going out with the three kids by myself, is here often just not possible. So that was and still is sometimes a challenge.
Yes, I never realized that. So the first thing that came into my mind is, how are the Chinese people doing it? But I just realized, like, most of the families have just one child, right?
Yes, I mean, the one-child policy doesn't exist anymore. So there are families now with two children, for example. But three children is quite rare, and twins is also very rare here. When I sometimes see twin families, they have different kind of strollers. They don't have the twins sitting next to each other, but rather one in front, one in the back, which then is better maneuverable. But yeah, of course, I didn't know that. And in Germany, we had the stroller, the twin stroller, that was the best one, and very common there. But yeah, that's just like one thing that is a little bit of challenge here. Apart from that, living in China, as I said, is safe. And also what is super, super positive is the very child-friendly attitude towards, like, from the society. Yeah, that's a huge plus.
That's good to hear. But how do you find the parenting culture in Beijing compared to Germany? Any aspects you maybe observed in other parents here?
Yes, definitely. I mean, you have to look at who raises the children here. It's usually not the parents, because they are working full time. There's no part-time concept of work in China, which means the moms, if they're working, and most of them are also working full time. Who's taking care then of the children? It's usually the grandparents or an ayi, and the ayis are more the age of the grandparents as well.
Maybe you could quickly explain, what is an ayi?
Oh yeah. Well, ayi literally just means aunt, auntie, but she doesn't have to be from the family. It's someone who is a caretaker of children and the household. So it's like a combination of a nanny and a housekeeper. Usually every family has at least one ayi. Me with the three kids, everyone expects me to have at least two or even three ayis, but we only have one. I guess she's the brave one. But yeah, so an ayi is helping in the household, so doing laundry, cleaning a bit. Some ayis are also cooking, taking care of the shopping, whatever you need them to do. And also, yeah, helping with the kids. And when you look at playgrounds, you mostly see small children with either their grandmoms or their ayis. And that, of course, makes a difference in the parenting style, because those people have a different way to treat children than their moms and dads, because they are older. It's more a traditional way of upbringing. It's more of spoiling. I think most Chinese children, and also the Western children that are raised in the Chinese way, are quite spoiled. I see that in my own twins as well. They just like throw things behind them, expecting the ayi to pick them up, and I mean, I don't know. It's, they're just treated differently, because most of the families only have one child still. They're also treated like a princess or a king, carried everywhere. What I observe is that they don't really want the children to develop their individuality that much and their independence that much. So they carry them, they want to make sure that they don't get hurt. That means they carry them up the stairs to slide down rather than having them climb up themselves, stuff like that.
That's so interesting. But why do you think is it that the parents do not want them to be so independent?
I guess it's part of the culture that in China, someone's individuality is not that important as the common group, the common sense of like the whole society. And yeah, that it kind of derives from that people like to maybe blend in more or have a rather collective thinking instead of having their own individual personality. And yeah, it makes a difference in the parenting style and in the way children are brought up here. What I also realize is that children are not supposed to play that much. Like in Germany or in most Western countries, we believe that children need to play to develop their creativity, their personality, especially when they're kindergarten age, right? But here in China, they come home from kindergarten and then they have a lot of classes. They have math class and they have English tutoring and they have this and that, sometimes until 7, 8 at night. And they are only 4 or 5 years old. Piano class and this class. And that is very surprising to me, because I think it's very, very important for children to have free playtime, to develop their own way of creative thinking, design thinking, to develop strength because they play on the playground and climb and do all those kinds of things, socialize with others also for their social behavior and everything. It's, in my opinion, not really helpful to only sit down and have a teacher in front of you telling you what to do and study and study. I think there are other times in life where this is important, but kindergarten age is not it. But yeah, it's very different here.
Wow. So I think maybe this is also connected to this one child policy, or also to the amount of people living here in China, that there's so much pressure on the kids because they have to compete with so many people. So of course the parents just want them to be better and faster and yeah, with everything. So that's a big difference. Yes. And are there specific cultural aspects that influenced your parenting style or decision making? Did you like adapt to something of that, or I don't know, is there any particular thing you did differently after coming here?
Well, first of all, we have an IE2, so this part of the Chinese culture we adapted, and actually it's a huge help with the three boys. It yeah, it helps a lot. For example, this afternoon I have a doctor's appointment with the oldest son, and the IE takes care of the smaller ones, which is a huge help, because otherwise I would have to take all three of them to the doctors, which is kind of a hassle because you always have to go to the hospital. It's not that it's just a doctor next door, which is also different here in China or in Beijing, that you don't really have the small individual doctor clinics. You have them all combined in this huge international hospitals, but there you find everything, you get an appointment right away. So the medical environment here is awesome, and with the most of the expert insurances we really get a good healthcare here. But yeah, so the aspect I integrated into our life. For the schools, I looked for school concept that develops the individuality and the independence of children, because that's what I believe in and that was very important to me. So I didn't want that aspect of the Chinese parenting culture to immerse into my children.
And I think that's a very good decision. So you already talked about the healthcare system now. So I wanted to ask you, how do you find the healthcare system in Beijing? And are there significant differences compared to Germany? I think you already mentioned something about that. Is there anything more you can add?
Like I said, it's the hospitals here have all the experts and all the combined clinics of all different departments and everything. What is awesome is that you get appointments straight away. You don't have to wait for an expert appointment for several months like back home. So here you get them even on the same day. You can go on the weekend. You can go late at night. You can. It's really, really good. So yeah, I think that is something that no one who's thinking about moving to China has to worry about, because actually here it feels like we are even better cared for than back home.
I think that's a big relief for a lot of people or parents thinking about moving to China. Can you now share maybe some of the positive aspects of family life in Beijing? What are some enjoyable activities or traditions you've developed with your children here?
Well, the international school environment here is awesome. There are a lot of great schools to choose from, and there's an international environment that is, of course, very beneficial for the kids. What they love about it is that every school has a school bus, and my children are proud as hell to go by themselves on the school bus to the school. The twins started that when they were only 2 years old, and they're super proud to walk in the school bus with their little backpacks and everything.
So that is also very different from Germany, right? This bus.
Yes. And, well, what is a bit different here is you don't really have that many public playgrounds. What you do have is big indoor playgrounds, and my kids love them. So whenever there's a day with a bad air quality or rainy day on the weekend, we go to this indoor playgrounds, and they're quite expensive, but the kids love it, and it's a super great alternative to the public playgrounds you have in Germany. Beijing, of course, is huge, and it has things like the Universal Studios and like all kinds of great things. What my kids also love, and what is free, is going to the parks, because the parks are awesome as well. And for example, Shaoyang Park is super huge, super beautiful, and you even have fun fairs in the park. And there are some like cars they can rent and boats you can rent. And literally, we are nearly every weekend in the park and doing an activity there. And my kids love that a lot.
That sounds so great. Yes, I've seen that activities in the parks. It's huge.
And also for the winter, I don't want to forget the winter activities, because here it's cold for a long time, right? So the rivers and the lakes are frozen, and you have the most fun activities on those frozen lakes. So you can ride bicycles on it. You can go over that on a pushchair, which is super fun. You really should try if you haven't ever tried it. You can, of course, ice skate and everything. But those bicycle and pushchair activities are done for everyone, for children, for elderly people who can't really ice skate or don't want to fall down. And you get snacks and drinks and everything. It's like a huge fun fair on the ice. So this is really, really nice in wintertime.
That's so cool. I've also seen that. So you could rent like these little pillows for the snow, and you could sit in and just slide down. It was so funny. But everything costs here, as you mentioned it. So from other mummies, I heard that especially all these sport activities, playing golf, tennis, basketball, whatever, everything is so expensive here. Could you tell me, is this true?
Yeah, everything related to children is really, really expensive. So I sometimes wonder how normal families do it, because it's super pricey. For example, my son has swimming classes. They are quite all right. They are at a school, and it's like, I don't know, around 200 RMB per class, which is 25 euros, something like that, per class, which sounds okay, I think. But this is like one of the cheapest classes available. We didn't choose it because it was so cheap. It's at the school where he also wants to go to, and it's close to our house, and it's very good. But most of the other classes are much more pricey. And if you think about, okay, this is just one child, but you have three children and they all want to take two classes a week. And also summer camps is like 1,000 euros a week per child. So because here we have like very long breaks, very long summer breaks, like 8 to 10 weeks, right? Even if you take all of your holidays to spend them with the children, you still have like 4 weeks to cover for, yeah, just to keep them busy. So there are lots of those summer camps, but they are like 1,000 euros a week per child. So think about having three children and covering 4 weeks, or even more when you don't want to spend your whole amount of holidays in the summer, but you also need some for Christmas and for Easter and whatever. So this can amount up to enormous amounts. And also the schools are super, super expensive. I think it's unimaginable how pricey those schools are. And it's a blessing that when you have the opportunity to come as an expat family and the companies are covering for that's a huge blessing.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm also wondering now, like, how do normal Chinese families do that? So that's just very impressive. And maybe that's a good moment to flip on the other side of it. So what are some of the challenges you faced as a mother raising kids in Beijing? And how have you navigated through those challenges? I always hear you talking about your mama-me balance. So maybe you also want to get into that topic.
Yeah, well, the challenges, as I said, or I mentioned before, sometimes logistically, that of course it's a big city, and then you always need some help with the kids to get around, right? Take the car, or if you take a taxi, a Didi, which is very common here to use. With three small kids, I always need like an extra adult, and you don't really have the safety seats and everything like that. So that sometimes can be a challenge. Apart from that, there are of course super positive aspects about living here. It's very convenient. Also for moms. I mean, sometimes, you know, you just realize, oh my God, we are running out of milk. And then I just take my phone, Gay on Meituan, and order 3 liters of milk and some bananas so I can secure the next breakfast. And they just deliver it in like 30 minutes. I mean, in Germany, I would have to think Rewe Lieferdienst is not delivering until, I don't know, the next day into between 10 and 12 where nobody's home, something like that. And not all parts. If you're not in a big city, you can't really use it and everything. Yeah, and I would have to take like all the three kids to the supermarket and everything. So this is super convenient here with the Quaidis, with the Meituan. So I can just order that and get it delivered right through my door. And so this is making life much easier, especially when I am mostly taking care of the household shopping and everything, right? What you referred to as mama me balance, which is a term that I like to use, considering the aspects of a mom finding her balance to be the person she used to be. I mean, of course, you change when you have kids, but also you have this kind of personality parts of you that are still there, right? And that you still want to embrace. You want to meet friends. You want to maybe go out and dance. You want to take time for yourself to have a spa day or whatever it is that you like. Do something creative. Go to a podcast, yes, stuff like that, right? And I always try to encourage moms to embrace that, to find their right balance, and to also stand up for themselves and demand it from their partners, from their families, to get that time for themselves. Because I think it's important in order to be a good mom that you take good care of yourself as well, and that you find this balance for yourself. So yeah, that's something I'm very passionate about, and yeah, what I actually love to do myself as well. So if you follow my Instagram, you probably think, what's this girl doing? Because sometimes it looks like all I'm doing is just yoga and sports and a little bit of family time and then going out and party or something. But for me, it is important to kind of have all of that in my life and to integrate it and blend it in so I can be Marie and not just the mom.
And I think that's such a beautiful mindset. And also the term mama me balance is really beautiful. And yeah, when you want to follow Mary in this kind of matters, I think you will find her on Instagram. So maybe you want to tell your name.
Yes, my name is Marie with I and E and then 87 L-E. Or on my yoga account. And my yoga account is Yoga Fit by Marie. And the way to write it correctly will be in the caption.
Right, perfect. And you already mentioned yoga now, so I also wanted to get into that topic because I know you are very passionate about that. So can you tell me more about yoga in Beijing? Is here a big community? Are here a lot of opportunities to do yoga? Is it also that expensive, like sports for children?
Thanks for that question. When I came back after those 10 years not being in China, I mean, we've been there 2012, and back then there was no yoga, no gyms, no sports culture. I remember when I was running once, jogging, people were like asking me, "Where are you running from? Like, is there danger or something?" And so that was the kind of sports culture we had here. So coming back 10 years later in 2022, I kind of expected it to be the same. And was super surprised when I saw all these new yoga centers, all these gyms, people training, people being fit, a lot of personal trainers around, a lot of instructors and classes. And it's awesome. You find it in every corner and every compound. And it happened in only 10 years, which was blowing my mind. So the community here is huge. There are WeChat groups for all this health and fitness related topics. Every kind of sports you can imagine, you can find here. You can find a group for it. You can find instructors for it and some kind of challenges and races. And yeah, it's super, super awesome. So the yoga community is big as well. The fitness community is big as well. And there's a lot happening here in Chinese studios, but also in foreigner run studios. And it's super fun and not as expensive. I mean, it's still not cheap and everything, but there are offers and I think they're pretty reasonable priced. And I think it's kind of like in Germany, the price structure. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so amazing. Everywhere what I see and hear is yoga. So when I came here, I really wanted to try yoga as well. And I just got so many recommendations. It was mind blowing. And I also tried different classes because also in this complex here, I have yoga classes, but they are just in Chinese. And I just noticed that really in yoga, it is so important to understand your instructor. So, but luckily here, you can literally find everything in every language. And that's so nice. Okay, so after yoga, coming back to your kids, how has language played a role in your family life, especially for your children? Is like Chinese language a big part of it?
It's becoming a bigger and bigger part, yes. I mean, we arrived when the twins were not even a year old, and then we immediately got our AI, and when they were 1.5, they started with the kindergarten. The kindergarten is trilingual, so they have English as their main language, then Chinese and German as well. So Chinese has actually developed into their strongest language. When they play among each other, they speak Chinese to each other. For my older son, it's a little bit different. We already knew that we wanted to go to Beijing. So we decided to put him in a bilingual kindergarten already in Germany. So from the age of one, he went to a bilingual kindergarten, so his English was very, very high level when he arrived here. So the transition from Germany to China was easier that way. At least he could speak English, because the barrier with the Chinese language, it's still huge, but at least if you can speak English and can kind of communicate, it makes it a little bit easier. And he always said, like, "I can't speak Chinese, I don't understand." But the more and more time we spend here, the more and more he understands. And right now he is pretty good and often has to translate for me because my level is still super low. I'm struggling a lot. I was super motivated when I came here and I thought, "Oh, I'm gonna get this and everything." But to be honest, the tonation throws me off all the time. People don't understand me and I forget the words in my lessons. I think, yeah, I got it. 1 hour later, I already forgot the word and stuff like that. At the moment, I'm a bit frustrated with the language. So my children get better and better and they kind of start to translate for me, which is also quite nice, but also a little bit embarrassing. And I wish I would just get better in it. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally understand. I have the same. At the beginning, I was so motivated. I had like two or three classes every week. But I think in the last episode, we also talked about that even when you understand the meaning, when you remember the vocabulary, but you pronounce it not good, then you're fucked. Yeah, so but it's funny that your children can help you with that. They're just so much better with languages. And so it's so easy for them. It's so impressive. So how have you built a support system or community for your family in Beijing? Are there communities or networks, especially between parents?
So first of all, in Beijing, the expat community is super strong. That is something that I find quite unique and very reassuring. So if you're thinking about coming to Beijing, don't worry, the expat community got you covered and will help you and support you in every possible way. And yeah, of course, among all the thousands or millions of WeChat groups, there are also many parenting groups. So there are parenting groups for everything. Like you have, according to the zodiac sign of every child, there's a parenting group. So only the same age children are in that group. And you have...
What is a zodiac sign?
Like the year you're born in. Like I'm a fire rabbit. I don't know what you are, Sarah, but yeah, right now we have the year of the dragon. Last year it was the year of the rabbit. So these are the zodiac signs, and you have those kind of groups for the same age children or parents of the same age children. You have all those activities for children in Beijing, groups and stuff like that. And how I connected with it was, we arrived in 22 and we had 22 days of quarantine. And I was pretty worried about our integration because the country and Beijing went into lockdown. The kindergarten was closed. Everything was kind of closed. And we were sitting there in quarantine in a hotel in Qingdao. And we're thinking about like, how the heck are we going to start this thing? Like, how do I get my supplies? How do I get people to connect to? How do I get friends for my kids? Because kindergartens are closed and we have like the long summer ahead of us and all of that. So I was, I had a friend from Germany who was also in China, and she helped with finding an apartment, and she also put me in some WeChat groups. And then I just started to post in all of those groups, like telling them about my situation, asking for help, asking to connect, asking for suggestions and stuff like that. And a lot of people reached out to me, and some of that are still my friends. So we are friends from that quarantine times. And I was just amazed by the amount of people willing to help, people sending us stuff, sending us toys for the kids, sending us cheese platters. And we were really lucky to receive a lot of help. And I actually tried to do that as well. I mean, because I received so much help and guidance in the beginning, really like to do the same when I realize someone is new to the city. I always offer my help. I always say like, let's have a coffee, let's just talk. And if you need anything, let me know. I can put you in some groups. I can put you up with some people. And that's just very valuable. So this expat community is great and it's super easy via WeChat. And I was able to make friends. And of course, you then have to really do those offers, right? I mean, it's one thing to be in a group, but then when they say there's gonna be an event happening, for example, there was a ladies' night. And I asked my husband, I was like, is that okay if I go out on that night? Because I want to connect to people, I want to find friends, right? So you have to sign up for the event and you have to go, of course. That's something you got to do then. But if you just brave enough to go there, even though you don't know anyone, you will walk out and have new friends, right? So that's how I made friends in the beginning. I just showed up at the events. I just signed up for everything that was going on. And thanks to my supportive husband, then taking care of the kids and letting me network and socialize. And I got into the community super easy and super quick. It was also maybe a very easy time because a lot of people were leaving and not many people were coming at that time because of the COVID. So I got set up in all kinds of like also charity work. I'm in the organization board for the German Embassy Christmas Market. I'm in charge of the Christmas Angels, which is a handicraft group doing Christmas decorations all year long to be sold then at the Christmas market for charity reasons and stuff like that. All of that started in the very first summer, and I got into everything really quickly and got quite busy very early on. Teaching yoga then at the German Embassy School as well, and which is of course super fun, and was quite fortunate because the yoga teacher left and they needed someone, and I thought, they asked me and I thought, like, all right, I'm gonna do it. And it was perfect, of course, to start like that. And so you can get into these networks and into those communities very easy if you want to.
I just love to listen to your journey. It's so beautiful. And also, you're really showing that, like, handling such a life is possible. Handling a life with husband, with sports, with hobbies, with three kids is possible. And that's so amazing. I think you're giving great insights and also a lot of, like, hope and good vibes also for other people. Maybe are there aspects you miss from Germany or prefer in Beijing?
What I sometimes miss are the great public playgrounds, the great public playgrounds we have in Germany. Because you don't really realize the good things you have until you don't have them anymore, right? So many of those things you take for granted, and then you come to another country and you see, oh, that is not a given in every country of the world. From a mother's side, also maternity break and maternity leave and all this time you're allowed to have after you have children, time to take for the children, to even have a paid break and everything. I mean, that is awesome. So people really should appreciate it a little more, because then you come here and you realize, oh, they don't get a break before they give birth. They have to take their own, like, holiday to rest a bit. And then after 180 days, they are going back to work. And that's already the long break. Usually they go back after 3 months. So, yeah, that is something that if I gave birth here and I was working full time here, I would probably definitely miss compared to Germany. So maybe this kind of working cultures for parents, for moms here is a little bit difficult. But yeah, on the other side, living with children here can be also super, super nice if you have the financial resources and the opportunity with AI and all of that. It is beautiful and also super international. I think the kids open up to very interesting cultures, not only to the Chinese culture, because it's a melting pot of super many different cultures and nationalities here. They learn something they will benefit from for the whole life. So this is actually quite beautiful. And this is not only in Beijing, of course, it's probably in every capital or huge metropole of the world you would find a kind of similar situation. What I find really, really nice about China and Beijing is the positive culture towards children. Because you come somewhere with three kids and you go to a restaurant or you go wherever it is, and people are just super, super positive towards them. They smile at them when they act out or don't behave well. It's not like in Germany where you get the looks like, oh my God, this mom doesn't have her children under control or something. But here they kind of embrace it. They kind of cheer them on. They are super, super open and positive, and also like congratulating my husband because we have three boys. Oh my God, this is like the jackpot for them. So he often, like, all the men are coming up to him to congratulate him on his achievement. So this is like, it sounds a bit funny, but actually it's kind of nice when you're out and about with the family and you don't have the feeling you're constantly disturbing someone and everybody's giving you looks because the kids are laughing and running around and playing or something like that, but they actually find that enjoyable and they are actually looking at it and cheering them on and are smiling with them. And yeah, of course, if you come here with identical twins, blonde hairs, and they're speaking Chinese, they are amazed by them. They treat them like superstars. It's a bit funny sometimes. And I sometimes wonder, like, when we go back to Germany and life gets back to normal, they think, like, what happened? Like, where's my fame? Because they're just used to that, right? To their superstar life here. But yeah, if you come here with children, you have to prepare to constantly get looked at, to constantly get asked questions, to constantly get photographed and stuff like that. But you can get used to everything, so don't worry about it.
Yes, and not only children get photographed here, so sometimes I also got asked. So, but yeah, I think it's so beautiful what you're telling about this embracing culture of Chinese people. I think that's very fascinating because, as you already mentioned, like, Chinese people have a very strict work ethic, they work a lot. But at the same time, they're so, yeah, relationship orientated, so into family. I think that is a very beautiful thing. And just to add on to another thing you said, I think, yes, for children growing up in an intercultural community can be a very valuable thing. Not only learning, of course, the language, but being open, embracing other cultures, adapting, you know. And I think coming back to your home country can be difficult for all of us, not only the superstar children. Returning to your home country after being away for some years can be tough. Things might have changed and you need to fit in again. It's like starting over, and that can be hard. We're getting to an end of our amazing episode, but finally, what advice do you have for other expat parents considering a move to Beijing, and what advice would you give them, especially if they have children?
I think what's crucial is choosing the compound you want to live in, or choosing, yeah, where you want to live and where you want to send the kids to school. Because that kind of impacts your whole everyday life then. So take time to look at different compounds. Try to look at them yourself, not just from the pictures, because they are very good here with doing pictures very nicely, which don't always match the reality, right? So just beware of that. And talk to other families, like ask for contacts of families of the same company, or of... like ask to get into those WeChat groups and just try to connect to other families and get their opinion. Where is it nice to live with kids? Where's a good infrastructure? Where are playgrounds? Where are other families living? Because you don't want to feel alone. And where you live actually has a very, very huge impact on your quality of life, on your perceived quality of Beijing life. And also choosing the school, because they go there every day, and if it's far out and you have like 1.5 hours in traffic every day, you're going to be frustrated. So I don't know, just try to really think of all of that and make smart decisions considering that. And don't be afraid, it's not bad to say, okay, this was the first try, was not it, we're going to change school, we're going to change compound, whatever. But just try to get some opinions of people with same situations, other families living here. Try to use their knowledge when they've been here for a while and get some advice. And yeah, it's going to be great. Don't worry about it.
So nice. Perfect. Thank you for joining us today and sharing your thoughts. But before we say goodbye, I have one final question that I ask every guest on this podcast. If, after your time in China, you were to return to your home country or another place, what aspect, habit, or behavior will you bring with you?
It might sound funny, but I am so in love with my scooter. You know, I have this electrical scooter, which is my go-to go around the city, best way ever, vehicle. I don't take DDs, I don't take the bus, I don't take the metro, I'm always on my scooter. And I don't think I want to give that up. So I already thought, like, how can I get a thing like that to Germany? And where would I go? Do I have to go on the street? Because here I can go on the bike way. And it is a super good infrastructure in Beijing. You have this separate lanes for the bikes and the scooters. And oh my God, I'm definitely gonna miss that. And I wanna take that aspect of Beijing life with me wherever I go.
I totally understand that. And as you mentioned, like these bike ways on the street, it's totally different to Germany. Like you really have 3 meters for you, not just 5 centimeters like in Germany. So that is a great thing. So thank you so much. It has been a pleasure to have you as my first female guest here on Chasing China. I'm sure that this episode will help many parents living here in China or who are planning having children here or in another country. So thank you, Marie.
Thank you so much. It was lovely.
I hope you enjoyed today's deep dive into the world of parenting in Beijing. And in our next episode, I will talk to Diana. She's the founder of an amazing WeChat group for ladies in Beijing. We'll chat about stories, friendships, and empowering moments in this digital community. Once again, thanks for joining Chasing China. Subscribe to stay updated and stay tuned for more adventures. Until then, Zai Jian and happy chasing! I want to remind you that everything shared on this podcast is based on my own opinions, experiences, and perspectives. I don't want to judge or impose my views on anyone. Every journey is unique, and I appreciate you being a part of mine. Thanks again, and see you next time. Take care.